This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and I want you to know the level of excellence we're going to get from Corey Majors today.
Dude, I want you to know the run sheet last year on this day said your complete overreactions to the Rangers season opening loss or win.
It's a good segment that will always work. But Corey goes, man, that break didn't feel too long. But here we are. And Alec and I just looked at each other like, the hell are we supposed to do with that?
What does that mean?
It was just an observation more than it was a conversation piece.
Okay. It is also a shout out Friday. Oof. Man, this is going to be a long day.
I didn't have anything to drink yet.
Okay. It is. That feels doubtful. It is a shout out Friday, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. If you want to get involved in the conversation or hit us up on the Twitch or hit us up on the YouTube, go ahead and give me cut number 2 and we could pretend like everything yesterday was positive.
The 0-1 is hit sharply up the middle and into center, a base hit. Berger hits the bag at third. He's being waved home. Rafaela's throw goes to third. Berger scores the first run of the season, and Texas leads 1-0.
All right. I want your complete, just like I did in 2024. Guess what? Spoiler alert. Day after opening day in 2026, same thing is going to be on the run sheet. All right. Positive, negative, your complete overreactions to the season opener from the 214. Sign David Robertson to a deferred contract. Look,
yeah,
I'm not against that whatsoever. I feel like I got tricked, Alec. And we talked about it yesterday. I was like, hey, I know it's spring training and I should just relax. But holy crap, the bullpen looked kind of awesome, especially the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, don't worry. First chance we get, not so good.
And that was the question I had. Like, we had that, I don't know if it was on air or off air conversation of, hey, I know it is, but what is real high leverage in spring training? You know, like when do you really have that moment that you can make like real?
It's a fair question.
And you're putting them in 6th, 7th innings and stuff like that. And maybe there's one run, but man, he's going up against a minor leaguer, you know, or he's going up against a B guy.
Fair.
And so whenever you finally saw it, you know, they get on that mound, the stadium's bigger. Everything's a little bit different. It's going to take some getting used to for that group. But, Kevin, the positive they can still go 161-1. So, like, that's still in play. And then you win the World Series, and then you try harder next year. Like, that's still a positive. But if
I still want to be there for that conversation where you're like, all right, you guys did pretty good.
No, we're pretty good last year, guys. But, you know, the serious part of that is it is a series now. Try to win the series. Like, that's the approach okay. now. Like, you the whole mindset of opening day is really like, all right, we're putting our best team against your best team. And, like, that we built everything we can. And day one, let's see what we got. And then now you make adjustments. Or you say, okay, it's all right. We're rolling the next one out the next day. The thing I love about Bochy is he's not going to panic. And he's not going to be like, ah. And Chris Young's going to be like, all right, guys, we had questions about our bullpen. We still have questions. Bochy and Maddox are probably going to say, those questions still exist, but let's float out a couple more times and see how it goes, and then we'll kind of recover from that. So there is, again, still went the series, and you still have plenty of opportunities to win the season. I just need those bats to come back alive, man, because I was expecting a lot more runs than this.
We did ask for overreactions from the 903. I guess there's always next year for the Texas Rangers. Now, I mean, look, I'm not going to say that is incorrect because I did ask for overreactions. That is very reacty. And I think that they're going to get back to 500 today.
From the 81, did you see the 817? Shout out to my whole section.
Oh, no.
At the game, we were good and rowdy and booed the hell out of Bregman. It was great.
I hope that person who said they were thinking about going by themselves yesterday follows up with us and they like. They ended up going, and they made some new friends and everything like that.
And I hope the Tolo that I did not ignore you. He said hello to me, and I was trying to get back for an interview, and I had to pee.
Oh, dear.
So, like, there was a lot of chaos there, and it was a stressful day for me. But I appreciate you, and I love you, and you have an amazing beard. I just want to put it out that way.
Okay.
That beard was amazing.
All right. I like it. I like it. Shout out to PJ Washington for supporting the Rangers, wearing that Rangers jersey yesterday from the 817. I like it from the 903. Obviously, my overreaction is we need to cut Luke Jackson.
Call up Teodo?
Yeah.
Is that the
You know what's funny? Move? 903 was Luke Jackson. 425 is call up Emiliano Teodo immediately.
All right, so Luke Jackson, we had a Braves fan warn us, and multiple fans texted in and were like, hey, guys, Luke Jackson in high leverage, don't trust him. And we were like, all right, you know, we're going to give the benefit of the doubt to what Boach and Maddox have decided off of spring training. And then it was kind of a surprise yesterday when I'm driving home, and Eric Nadel is talking to Bochy, and Bochy's like, here's the order. We're going to go with Robert Garcia, Martin, then Luke Jackson as your closer. My eyebrows raised real big whenever I heard that yesterday. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And that's on the pregame show. By the way, wonderful work yesterday. I love the way it sounded yesterday. I was driving home listening. It had great energy. The pregame, Jared did a wonderful job. They incorporated Mike. Elvis Andrus was involved. I really enjoyed the pregame show right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I really enjoyed the Rangers Sports Network broadcast. I thought their presentation was wonderful yesterday. Yeah. So that's not an overreaction. That's just a lineup right there. But, man, these bats, I'm afraid. I am definitely afraid that they're not going to be able to put you in position so that you don't have to use Luke Jackson too often. That's where I'm afraid of right now.
From the 903, get back to 500. Kevin, are you kidding me? It's over. Nobody knows.
That's the great thing about opening day is the overreaction definitely is there. It's going to be tough from the 214 Braves fan. Jackson's just a one-trick pony. If he locates the slider, he's untouchable. When he's off, he walks and leaves hangers. And Josh Young didn't help him yesterday with whenever he had the error while he was running on that ball and it skipped out into left field. That didn't help because that set up a couple more runs there. But you got to get those done. You got to get out of that inning and give the bats an opportunity.
From the 817, wanted to know if we had an update on Seager. And this is a fair thing. I think he's fine, but you'll find that out for sure when the lineup comes out, because yesterday, as we were just talking about, they wanted Seager and Peterson in the lineup today, with Seager at shortstop and Peterson also in the lineup. So if for any reason that's not the case, well, you're going to know that something is off with Seager.
There was a moment yesterday late in the game where Seager grounded into a double play, and I was like, don't run hard. That's weird for me to feel that way about it. I'm like, don't try to leg this one out. And you could see he tried to push it at 1 second, and then he was just like, it might be smarter for me just to get to first, but not push it too hard. The other thing I really like, Kevin, Jake Berger over at first base.
Okay.
I like me some Jake Berger at the one bag, dude.
All right. What, anything in particular do you
that
just...
That first play when it got hit down the line and he snagged it and was like, hey, Evaldi, I got you. Because wasn't there a... I believe 2 years ago, Nate Lowe mentioned that Evaldi told him $100 for yep. every time he doesn't take the ball to the bag. He says, every time you throw the ball to me and let me get the out at first, $100 to you.
Okay.
Because he takes such great pride in his defense.
Right, right.
So that was really cool yesterday. You could even see that moment where Jake Berger and him had it, and he gave him the, and they were laughing together.
I want to make this clear, and then I want to bounce over to you, Alec. I see all of these people texting in about whether it's Luke Jackson or the bullpen or whatever. I want to make sure you know, even though we don't read every single one of them at this moment, you're right. We've been talking about the bullpen all off season, and then they really lit it up in spring training, and so it's kind of tough because you're like, okay, that's really awesome, but at the same time, like, spring training, and we talked about how, you know, Rugi would have been a Hall of Famer if it was for spring training.
Yeah.
And so the first opportunity you see in literally a game that was in the balance and the bullpen blows it and you can't help but, like, you know, kind of have worst case scenario going on in your head.
I was kind of singing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, to myself once we got into the bullpen, because I was starting to get some of those flashbacks from those moments late in the 2023 season where things really started to fall apart. You didn't really know who was doing what, who was good at what. At one point for half a season, you thought Will Smith was an elite closer, and then he was unpitchable in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, like, I was starting to get those flashbacks. That was my overreaction, was, oh, crap, here we go again. Just with anybody not named your starting pitcher, you're going to have problems. But I will say, all things considered, I did like what I saw from Chris Martin. And not just pitching-wise, I thought his walkout song was awesome, too. He came out to Big X the Plug, and as an older guy with gray hairs, I thought that was cool. But, I thought that he you know, made it through adversity pretty smoothly, and I thought that he presented himself, like, reintroduced himself, really, to the Ranger fans in a good way, because he got in some hot water for a second. He escaped unscathed.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Eighth, ultimately the fist pump, the little bit of excitement afterwards after he got out of that jam. I think he's going to end up being the veteran guy in that bullpen that you rely on the most and that you trust the most. Does he give you the results every single time? Probably not. But I think he ends up being the guy that you can say, all right, I don't feel as bad seeing his name get called going into a commercial break.
Now, I wanted to go back to another positive, because I have seen a couple of people. Here we go, from the 817. Kevin Pillar had a great game, 2-for-3 and great defense. He was responsible for both of those Rangers runs coming in. And it was great to see such an immediate impact from Kevin Pillar, who I think a lot of people fell in love with during spring training because, I mean, his story is just neat. His breakdown of that series against Toronto was bananas. And he's an easy guy to root for. So I thought that was a pretty neat way to start.
Oh, yeah. Let him get the first RBI of the for the Rangers. That was for the season. I really did appreciate that one for sure.
And I'm going to throw this out there because my three initial thoughts that I wrote down, like, complete overreactions, although I think the second one might be right. The bullpen's going to stink. Evo is going to be badass. And Corey Seager is going to miss a good chunk of time again.
I mean, I don't think that's too bold, honestly. Hey, did you get the feeling yesterday?
Why did you tell me I was wrong?
Did you get, I'm sorry. When you're right, Kevin, you know? Like that break. Did you get the feeling yesterday that Chris Young was satisfied with the bullpen, or that he's kind of still like, no, we're always looking for, because I did feel that yesterday when he was like, it's my job to prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, Teodo had options and was able to go back down and come back up. They're able to do some things with them, and they wanted to give the veterans the opportunity, because that's one thing I've always felt is that Bochy's like, I'll give veterans every opportunity to prove that they got it still. And then once if they have gassed out, then it's time for me to go find something else.
And it's tough yesterday because outside of Luke Jackson, Garcia, Martin, and Armstrong were solid as a collective, and you could break them each down person by person, 2 2/3, 3 strikeouts, but also 2 walks, a hit, and a balk. And so it was fine. It was solid enough. And if not for the Jackson thing, then maybe you're like, hey, you know what? Nathan Eovaldi pitched 6 innings and we won in 9, or we won in 10 because the bullpen didn't give up any runs. And that's a whole different dynamic. But unfortunately, that's not the place we're at. So I can't necessarily take the appreciation for like, oh man, look what Martin did yesterday, or look what Armstrong did yesterday. Because I'm like, Garcia was a little bit shaky with the control as well. And then obviously Jackson gave up the home run. So I don't know. Mixed bag. Well, not even a mixed bag. I'd be trending towards maybe not my favorite, but it was just game one.
Hey, for opening day, it was opening day really is about the buildup more than anything else. And you're hoping that you come away with one. But then, as we said, the next day, what did Michael Young tell us? I almost like day two more than day one because
it's about baseball.
Only about baseball. And so today, they'll get back out there later this evening right here on 105.3 The Fan, get their opportunity to finally get back to 500 for the first time this season.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to that
game.
And again, there are adjustments that Bochy will make from last night that he learned about his team, that maybe he'll look at the bullpen a little differently today. Because he did say yesterday, dude, he was on with Nadell and said, I'm about to go tell the guys. I'm about to bring my bullpen in and tell them in my office what's about to happen. They didn't know until before the game that that's how the line was going to go for those guys.
All right, I'm going to give you one fear-mongering and then something that will maybe make you laugh. We're only one game into the season, Corey, for the Rangers, but the Dodgers already have 3 more wins than us.
I know, man. It's wild. But they're in a different league.
That's
so
right.
We don't have to worry about them until the World Series.
From the 817, and maybe not even then, because let's trade Nico to the Dodgers, because then he will shock the world and trade us Ohtani and Sasaki for Luke Jackson.
I think the idea... The idea right now would be to trade Seager for bets, right? Because he's lost the 25 pounds and he's in street clothes. Yeah. Like, that would be the idea there.
Okay.
For Wyatt Langford for bets.
Oh,
right?
No.
Your future rising star.
We need to benefit from the trade this time. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk about that incredible Texas Tech comeback, the Mavs win, and NFL overreaction or reality. All of it next right here on The Fan.
3 seconds left. Wagner driving right. Behind his back. Launches a 20-footer for the tie. No! It's over! Texas Tech has won! Texas Tech is going to the Elite Eight!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead.
One other question I had for you from yesterday before I know we have lots of other things to get to today, but did you know that they weren't going to have the banner hanging all the time, that our World Series championship banner was going to become a placard out in left field?
I did not.
Do you feel like it should be hanging forever, or are you okay with
it? They can hang it, right? Sure. That's still too soon. I'm sorry. That's still too soon. So I have to admit, I went back and watched the overtime, but I didn't watch realistically much of any of the Texas Tech Arkansas game because it was running essentially at the same time as the Duke Arizona game. But it was just kind of funny because I was watching it and man, Texas Tech was getting freaking crushed, dude. And so I was watching it and it almost, again, to talk about the parallels, it almost went parallel with the Arizona comeback up against Duke, because there was a time when I know Texas Tech was losing by at least 16 points. I don't know if it got higher than that, but all of a sudden, and that's with like 10 minutes to go, Texas Tech chips away at that. And once they got to overtime, I think that was about the exact same time as the Duke game was ending. And so I was able to flip it over or hit back to the DVR and watch overtime. I thought it was an incredible comeback by Texas Tech, and clearly they got to be feeling great going into the Elite Eight.
Yeah, dude, to see where they are. And I know there was a lot of from the G-Bag Nation. They had talked a lot about Texas Tech's going to rock this thing. Remember?
Yeah.
They were in on that conversation, and here they are putting themselves in a fantastic position.
So you get Texas Tech against Florida.
Did the blowout from Alabama, were you expecting that? Because
so
that was an eye-opener.
So here's the thing. If not to that extent.
They're a weird team to me.
I certainly was. Well, if Mark Sears shoots like that against any team,
valid.
Look, Duke's going to lose on Saturday night. I'm going to go to that game. If he's shooting like that, we're going to lose.
10 unless of 16.
Unless Cooper Flagg has like 50 points and 4 blocks and 8 steals or something like that. And that's the thing about these two teams. Duke and Alabama are two of the most up-tempo, or can be up-tempo. But Alabama likes to go up-tempo, and they have a really good offense, and their defense is fine,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas Duke's offense is very good, and their defense is very good. So if Alabama can get them to run, they might be able to outrun Duke. If Duke can slow it down, that might really frustrate Arizona. I am really excited about that Texas Tech-Florida game, too, though.
The on-flag... I'm starting to see more people going, oh, it's not just hype around this guy. We've known this for
sure.
Quite some time now. Obviously, we checked in, was it last year whenever he was in the with the Olympic team? Or was it? Yeah, that was last year, last summer. And he was with the Olympic team, and we were like, oh, man, this dude's balling all over him.
Yeah.
And everybody's eyes opened then. And then whenever I heard the Scalabrine story, I was like, Kevin, is this guy? And you were like, I'm looking forward to this season. And then he's shown up, and he's been a baller for this team. Yeah, that Florida-Texas Tech game is going to be two interesting styles colliding, and I'm excited about it.
And I have Florida winning it all in my bracket.
Same.
This was the Elite Eight matchup I had, though.
Oh, really?
And so I'm really excited to see how this game plays out. And, you know, you mentioned it. G-Bag's been talking about Texas Tech. Zach Wolchuk's been talking about Texas Tech. And it's great to see such an epic comeback for them to be able to make it to the Elite Eight. Are you invested at all? I know Friday nights can be tough, because you're like, hey, we're going to go out and socialize or whatever. Are you in on any of the games this evening?
Oh, for sure. Michigan State Ole Miss can Michigan State do what I need them to do and get one more round, and then I can eliminate them just like
okay.
I always do.
Okay.
Tennessee has, I didn't know what to think of Tennessee this whole time.
Sure.
I really was like, are they a real good 2 seed or are they, like, where are they in this? And so watching them against Kentucky is going to be fun, but honestly, Houston-Purdue is the one that I'll probably be most interested in. It's just so damn late. It's 9 o'clock, Kevin.
It's a Friday night.
Yeah. I still go to bed at 10 because I have to get up at early in the morning because my daughter wakes up so early.
Also, can I tell you real quick?
And I don't believe in Auburn that much.
That's the... Oh.
I'm weird about them. They've been weird to me.
In your face, number one overall seed.
Yeah.
That's the earliest that game is going to start. Because if you remember last night... Both the Tech game and the Duke game started later because the games before them took longer. And so I think it's 30 minutes after that first game. And so, look, I want you to be able to watch it, but there's a tiny part of me now that hopes that, like, Kentucky and Tennessee ends at 9:20. And so then that Houston game doesn't start till 9:50. And then it goes down to the wire and Corey's like, oh my God, it's midnight. I need to go to bed. My daughter's going to get up so early, but this game is too good to stop watching.
Kevin, I think Bomani Jones said it too now. He's now stepped to the forefront as one of the people that says we shouldn't be playing multiple games at a time. You shouldn't be on multiple channels. I want it on one channel and one channel alone.
What?
And I want to go back to the olden days whenever we had it that way.
Can we do that after... the first round? All right.
Okay.
I can't go back. All right. The first round, that Thursday and Friday where you're like, hey, you better start watching Impractical Jokers because that's the only other show we have on True TV. All right. That and TBS and TNT were good for AEW. Get lots of shine on that. And CBS. I need all four of the options. I can't go back on the first day to them being like, hey, I know there's only 3 minutes left in this game and this team is winning by 15 points, while in the other game, there's 4 minutes left and it's tied, but we're going to stick with this 15-point game. And you're like, no!
Mm-hmm.
Give me the other game. If you want to change it later, That's okay. I can't go back in the first 2 days. Don't do that to me.
Gotcha. No, I got you there. Yeah. No, I kind of was interested in the feeling yesterday of, was baseball going to be beat up by the NCAA tournament, or was baseball going to overtake the NCAA tournament? And I'm not exactly sure where that landed yesterday. I don't know what's going to be telling of that, because in my world, it was more baseball and hockey. And then I was like, oh, yeah, the NCAA tournament.
But if you think about it, it's really, and we're going to get to hockey, absolutely. It's going to be tough to compare at least to today. Let's try that again. Yesterday, it's going to be tough to compare because there were so many afternoon games. I know you had a couple at 6 and a couple at 9 when the NCAA tournament was going on, but the bulk of the games were at like 2, 3 o'clock for opening day. So I'm curious about that crossover as well. All right. You want to throw it to the Mavs real quick, because we do need to mention Jaden Hardy. If we're doing shout-outs, let's give me cut number 10 and let's shout out some Jaden Hardy.
He finds top scorer tonight, Jaden Hardy. Hardy gave it up to Anthony Davis. Under 2 minutes to go. Hardy, and it falls in there! It's Jaden Hardy's world tonight, and we are just living in it.
Now, Jaden Hardy is one of the players that if they are excelling, then I am excited. I would have liked a scenario in which he excelled a lot last night and we still found a way to lose.
Kevin, I just looked at my bracket. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I went from 44th to 13th last night somehow. Oh. So congratulations to me on moving up in the bracket. I just was really excited about that. back to Jaden Hardy. I forgot a Mavericks game was on. There was so much sportsing going on yesterday. I mean, look. I forgot about it.
That was, what, fourth best scenario behind two NCAA tournament games and the Stars?
That being said.
Although the Stars are a little bit later.
I'm in. Look, dude.
You want to make a run at this?
The only option, the only way to tank is to tell Anthony Davis not to play, right? Like that, if he's on the court, they have a chance to win the game.
That's true.
And he has decided he wants to play basketball. His goal probably for the rest of the season is to get all these guys on his side.
And to not shoot as poorly as he did last night.
Maybe so. But his goal is to probably get the rest of these guys, like find a form so that next season they can start off hot. That's probably what he wants to accomplish at some point. And I think it would be smart to gain some leadership trust from these guys. So that's where they are. They can't tank to the point where it's going to be really good for us anyway, Kevin. So they might as well try and make it into this this thing at the end of it and see what happens from there, and then try to make it entertaining for any of the fans that are left for the rest of the run here. That's it. So you can either say, we want to try and tank and we're not really going to, and be frustrated by it. Or you can say, I'm just going to enjoy the good moments here.
From the 6-8-2, we're going to be drawn back into NCAA tournament talk. I have Texas Tech ticket to pay $1,000 if they win the championship, or Houston to pay $500 if they win. Now, here's my question for you gentlemen right here and right now. A little bit of mini moral compass, if you will.
Ooh.
Let's pretend you're both Houston alums, but you have betting slips for both of those two teams. What is the monetary difference that would switch your allegiance? Because like $500 versus $1,000... I don't know. I feel like most people would still stick with Houston because they're like, hey, I still get $500, blah, blah, blah. But like, what's the difference? Is it $500 to $4,000? $500 to what? Where you would like, no, I'm going to go ahead and root for the money.
Ooh, I think that $500 to $1,000 will do it for me. $500 is $500.
That's true.
Yeah, in my tax bracket, I need all the help I can get. So I'm taking that, absolutely.
Okay.
I guess first off is I would never root for Houston because I'm not Reggie. All right? So that would never happen.
Even if you had a ticket for $50,000?
Now maybe we're on to something. But you're trying to get me to root for Houston for free.
But it's Houston college basketball. You don't have to hate them.
My money. So
but you don't have to hate Houston college basketball, do you?
$2. I'm rooting for anything from Houston. I told MJF yesterday I'd dropkick him all the way to Houston, treating us the way that he did yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. So, Kevin, I need big money. Like, I'm rooting for big money in these. If I'm rooting for big money, then I'll kind of be like, all right, I'm going for the money instead.
Okay.
If I am a fan of something and I have to root against, let's say, Rangers. You want me to root against the Rangers? $50,000 is probably a good number for me. $10,000 is probably a good number for me to start with right there for one game. One game alone.
All right. You're looking for big money. If you can find a way to go to the past, I can help navigate you to some big money, okay? Let's talk about Michael Jordan. Very first preseason game he ever played for the Chicago Bulls. First time he's wearing a Chicago Bulls jersey in a game. Back in the day, nobody really gave a damn. And so it was just laundry. And so eventually, the Chicago Bulls sent that jersey to the then Washington Bullets for a charity auction. It sold back then for $1,000. Except the top bidder did not pay the $1,000. So it went to the next highest bidder, who paid $800. I swear this is a true story. The person who got it for $1,000 was like, ooh, it's too rich for my blood. And the guy won it for $800. He turns around and sells it in 2009 for $66,000. So that's a lot of profit, right? But clearly a mistake, because between 2009 and 2025, the world of collectibles has clearly changed. And on Wednesday at Sotheby's, it went for the low, low price of $4.2 million.
Ooh. And the one that was sold for $1,000?
And that person didn't even pay, and eventually sold for $800. But then just think, 15 years ago, it only sold for $66,000. And Sotheby's got away from themselves because they're like, $10 million. And people are like, hey, it's a preseason game. Calm down.
Speaking of the Bulls, though, did you see that game last night, dude? Yeah. They scored 44 points in the fourth quarter, and that was amazing.
And they had a game winner. It was very...
Dude, that last 9 seconds was the craziest 9 seconds I've ever seen.
It was pretty impressive. Not as impressive as the person that flipped a $66,000 jersey to $4.2 million.
Probably so, yeah.
This is the second highest, I believe, or it's in the top three of Jordan jersey sales. Number one is still game one of the 1998 finals, The Last Dance. That one sold for $10.1
million. Million?
But just think.
That's it? Not a B?
No. Well, no. Somebody could have had it for $1,000, but they're like,
When do you think something's going to sell for $1 billion? Now, I'm not saying just like anything. I'm talking about sports memorabilia.
If they ever find that golf ball that got shot off the moon.
A billion?
I could see that.
Is it just floating around in space?
I do not believe we have anywhere near the technology to get close to that thing. So, yeah.
You could track it somewhere like a star, like a shooting star or something.
Look, if we can get to all these other galaxies and stuff.
Maybe it's collected some space dust along the way and it's starting to grow. It's starting to softball size now or something.
Whoa. Is that how space works?
I don't know. Why not? I've never been in space. Thank you.
The vacuum.
Yeah. We don't know.
Okay. Maybe I went through a black hole or something.
We'll have to ask the people that created the golf club.
Okay. Never mind. I have nothing to say about that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Are these the likely major award winners this season? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Swing and a high fly ball. Deep right center. Their center fielder's back. He's looking up and that ball's out of here. And opposite field, three-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, hopefully helping you guys reach out and touch faith this morning. It is also a shout-out Friday from the 214. Shout-out to The Fan for the last 16 years, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tolo. I have a new opportunity on Monday. I'm on the phones almost all day, so I won't be able to listen.
Yeah, you will. Okay. You just turn it on and leave it on in the background. And then you can leave it low if you want to. And then when you're not on the phones, turn it up. So that's unless you're like, oh, I'm using the app and everything. Get two phones. All right. This is how we do this. Use the app on one phone. Use the phone as a phone. All right.
Hey, if you find out somebody that you know that isn't former athlete has two phones, do you bring that up or are you just like,
are you talking about Derek?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah. He has one. I mean, one's business and one's other business. Like he's a very busy man and he needs two. One of them, I think though, a lot of influencers use multiple phones because of the cameras and stuff.
He said the other one, he's like, the other one's a Google phone. And I'm not far enough into that world. And I was like, okay.
Explain to Kevin what a Google phone is, everybody. 877-881-1053.
In the meantime, Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC and repair. It's time for Baseball Nuggets.
We have tickets still available this weekend.
TexasRangers.com. I know opening day is over, but the baseball is not. So selfishly, I'm going to tell you, you can listen to all the games right here on 105.3 The Fan. But TexasRangers.com, good seats available, especially for these next few games. It's still opening weekend, so just give it a shot. Now, do you want to know one more note about the Rangers, or do you want to go to award winner predictions?
Let's go with Rangers first, Kevin.
Okay.
Did I make a bad choice?
You did, because this is not the most positive news in the world. Because since the Rangers lost yesterday, do you know that they're not going to be able to sell bottled beer again all season?
No, because they lost their game yesterday?
Because they lost the opener.
Really? So now, if they would have gone 162-0, they would be able to serve bottled beer.
Yeah, because they'd still have the opener.
And you're the one.
All right.
No, here's the crappy problem. Here's the problem. Earlier, somebody texted that in. It stinks that they won't be able to.
Look at that! Even Gavin Spittle loves it!
You know what? Maybe you're not going to New York, because I might just walk out. If you can pull another one of those today, I might just walk out of here.
No,
I'm not even drive
I'm
home.
Probation,
I'm
going to
walk
now.
Home just so that I can think this all out and reassess my entire life.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you, Alec. We can walk together, dude. We'll go to a bar and hang out.
Let's go. Solidarity.
Jeez.
Yeah, 2 o'clock.
He had to say the punchline almost three times.
Alec got the punchline the first time.
I got it immediately. So I wanted to leave about 45 seconds ago.
Our boss was dancing so hard. Was that what happened?
That is correct.
I don't like y'all.
Now, predictions for who is going to win all of the awards. Who do you think the experts at ESPN like to win the American League MVP?
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge finished second.
Interesting. Soto. Juan Soto. Oh, you know what? Shohei Ohtani. I don't even know what I'm doing here. American League. Shut up, Corey. See? That's what that stupid joke's got me all frazzled here.
This is my favorite day. Okay.
I'm gonna need a moment.
Hey, I'm gonna help you out. Bobby Witt Jr. got the bulk of the votes.
All right.
So he got 14 votes. Aaron Judge and Gunnar Henderson both got 3 votes for American League MVP. Now, Corey, I feel like you're all over this one. National League MVP.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto is tied for third with LA De La Cruz.
Shohei.
Behind Fernando Tatis and Shohei Ohtani.
Hold on, what?
Fernando Tatis Jr. is second on the MVP list.
That is weird to me. I feel like he's become irrelevant almost.
Wow.
Am I wrong about that? He kind of just disappeared to me.
I mean, I think obviously his reputation and everything took a hit. He had a down season last year because of it, but I think the anticipation is he'll be back. And he had a huge opening day. So I don't think based on yesterday. I just think it's based on the fact that, like, he's in better position to play all the games.
Yeah, after 42 home runs in 21, he had the PED suspension. Yep. And then it was 25 and 21. And it just wasn't, like, we were expecting 35 a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, huge, you know, 280 batting average or, you know, something 290, somewhere in that range. And I just felt like, all right, he's all right still. But I guess that's interesting to see that he is back.
From the 903, that was great, Kevin. From the 817, Kevin, you got Corey. And from the 214, I can't tell.
I like where they're going.
They said, end the show early. I can't tell if it's like Mike would say that it's not getting any better than that, or they're like, just close it down.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you're done. From the 817, lost the opener. That was awesome. From the 903, I was really confused. Okay, that's fair. Hey. Opinions are all over the place.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know the old saying.
You know, I don't want
opinions are like that stupid joke.
I didn't want to ask you to finish that because I was afraid that you would and it would not go well. All right, I'm going to transfer you over to MLB.com for American League Rookie of the Year. It's not at the top of the mix, but here, Kamar Rocker did get votes, where in the ESPN poll, Rocker did not get any votes for Rookie of the Year. However, more good news. We go back to ESPN. Who will win the AL West? Corey, there are 28 experts. I know that's a lot, but I think you're going to like how this turns out.
Boston? After yesterday.
Who will win the American League West?
Son of a gun. The Rangers.
They got 18 of the 28 votes. 7 went to the Mariners, and 3, only 3, went to the Astros.
Really? How many went to the A's?
None.
I have a feeling they're going to finish high in this division this year.
By the way, and to that point, only one person picked them to even make the wild card.
Okay.
One.
Yeah, that's why. That's interesting to me because I have them finishing at least second in this, maybe even being able to swing the top seed in this.
Wow.
Because I just don't believe in the Angels. The Mariners, you've said it many times.
I believe it when I see it.
And the A's, they spent money. They have young talent. They look like they could be good. Maybe I'm all wrong about this because maybe Jose Leclerc gives up 2 home runs in every single game they play in.
Yeah, so maybe you don't miss him. American League champion, it is the Boston Red Sox, as predicted by ESPN. With 10 of the 28 votes, the Rangers got 7 of those votes. So the Rangers are tied with the Orioles for second. But you think about it. Out of the 28 experts, 24 of the 28 of them said it will be the Red Sox, the Orioles, or the Rangers. So that is their distinctive hierarchy in the American League, which I know that doesn't change anything about yesterday's game or the season or anything like that, but it feeds into that. We were talking about momentum that the Rangers have.
Does the fact that yesterday's game, Garrett Crochet was the pitcher and that Boston is actually a good team, does that give you any solace?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
I mean, look.
I'm there too.
I think you can make a really strong argument that Boston is the best team in the American League. Like, obviously, I hope it is the Rangers, but Boston is in the mix and Garrett Crochet is clearly a top-notch pitcher. Let's go to Tyler O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill with the Baltimore Orioles. He hit a home run yesterday. You might be like, why would I possibly care about that? Fair.
Fact.
This is the 6th consecutive opening day he's hit a home run.
Really?
Needless to say, that is an MLB record. He started the streak with the St. Louis Cardinals in 2020. In 2021, 22, 23, still with the Cardinals. 2024, hit a home run with the Red Sox. Now, in 2025, with the Orioles, 6 straight opening days with a home run. How incredible is that?
That is special, and that kind of makes me want to know what the next longest streak is on that. Actually, I found it out, Kevin.
Ooh, like 2 or 3?
It is 4.
Oh, good.
Held by 3 different people.
Okay.
Would you like to know who they are?
Yes, I would.
Todd Hundley from 1994 to 1997. Gary Carter from 77 to 80.
Is that when he was with the Expos?
Mm-hmm. And Yogi Berra from 55 to 58.
Okay.
Yeah. Home opening day home runs. The most. Is it the most opening day home runs? Total number? Adam Dunn, Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Robinson with 8.
All right. So
I think I heard Jared drop that one into the conversation yesterday.
That's pretty impressive. This fellow's like, hey, I might be able
6
to put it together a streak as long as all
impressive.
Of that. By the way, quick note for Paul Skeens yesterday. Paul Skeens became the fastest number one pick in MLB history to start opening day. Previously, Mike Moore and Steven Strasburg both started the opening day 2.5 years after their draft. Paul Skeens did it 1.5 years after his draft. He went from number one pick to starting pitcher on opening day.
And it's kind of weird because he was striking out so many people last year already. You know, like he was already in the middle of
If you could have retroactively made him your opening day starter, they absolutely would have done that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go back to the Rangers. And this is something I really wanted to dive into yesterday. We didn't have the opportunity. Let's talk some more about the opener. But also, what is the Texas Rangers' great unknown for the season? And did you see it in game one? Next on The Fan.